Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. For years now, people have been setting up a little contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since the events in Ukraine and the oil and inflation crisis, gold has done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, and who isn't, just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metals IRAs for your retirement. They'll get you straightened out on your options and hold your hand through the entire process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 right now to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
The planet is dying by the day. We've lost 80 to 90% of Earth's insect populations, terrestrial and aquatic. Forests are about 60% declined from pre-civilization eras. The remaining 40% is dead and dying by the day. Atmospheric oxygen content is plummeting. Plankton populations are plummeting. Plankton being the single largest production of oxygen on the planet. Again, weaving this all back into climate engineering as the single greatest, most destructive human activity ever launched by the human race.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. That was Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org, and this is an emergency update to my last interview with Dane just a few weeks ago. That interview was titled Graphene Skies. Well, this one should probably be called Graphene Skies, Ground, and Water. The situation is very dire, friends, and getting more so by the day. Please spread the word far and wide. Share this video wherever you can. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Did you know you can earn hundreds of thousands of dollars investing in crypto? And did you know if you do it right, you don't have to pay capital gains tax on it? Open a Roth crypto IRA right now with My Digital Money to take advantage of it. And when you go to retire, you will pay nothing on your capital gains. If Ethereum, Chainlink, or Solana doubles, or Bitcoin surges to a new high, you could be doubling your investments. My Digital Money's US-based phone support is always ready to answer your questions. And you know what's better? They will give you a free $50 credit if you fund your My Digital Money crypto IRA account with at least $1,000. That's right, no capital gains tax. Go to mydigitalmoney.com right now, mydigitalmoney.com. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. This is an extremely important follow-up to my March 20th interview with Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch. The name of that video was Graphene Skies. Guys, they're spraying it everywhere. The graphene is in everything, but that's not the worst of it. Let me do a screen share before I introduce Dane. As part of the UN Agenda 2030 attack on humanity, well, bird flu's back. So they're culling chickens all over the country, all over the world, in fact. Turkey prices and egg prices are soaring amidst, get this, 13.5% stated inflation right now. The dollar is dying and the full court press against humanity is on. I'll stop the screen share for now, but I have so much more to say. Dane Wigington is back. How are you, Dane?
As well as can be, Sean, given the state of the world, but very grateful for your help as always to shine the light where it needs to be.
Well, I'm very grateful for the work you do because to some degree, this topic is kind of out of sight, out of mind. What do I mean by that? Well, unless you live in the beautiful area that you live in, a lot of people don't recognize what's happening. Not that many people live near Lake Shasta. And you did a video that really shocked me. I'm going to play just a few seconds of this, guys, then I'm going to shut up. But I think during this interview with Dane, I'm going to let this play out as B-roll because what has happened to the forests near Dane is so shocking. It makes what happens in my backyard seem like, well, child's play. We had a nice wooded backyard. All those red oaks are dead. There's no more birds, but take a look what's going on near where Dane lives.
This is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org. We're an installment of Into the Wild. We try to document the abrupt climate collapse, imploding ecosystems around the planet. in a remote section on the east side of Lake Shasta. Place I've been trekking to for about 20 plus years. You see where I'm at right now, I should be 100 feet underwater, more than 100 feet underwater. It's already the end of the rainy season. We had exactly no rain the entire rainy season since last year until a day ago. We had a fraction of an inch, and you see it's already dry because climate engineering operations continue to cut off the fall precipitation. These once magnificent trees, that's the remnants of a canyon live oak, strongest oak in the forest. Been here for nearly 100 years since this lake was first submerged, Lake Shasta.
I'm going to bring down the volume here and let this play, Dane. This is so shocking. And then you climb up. Now, you should be 100 feet below water here. That's just one of the many problems. But as you go back into what used to be a beautiful forest, it almost brings me to tears to see these great oaks, these beautiful trees that have lived for some more than a century, all dead. I'm going to let this play. Things aren't getting any better, huh, Dane?
No, they're going one way only. And some of those trees in that section of forest are 4 and 5 centuries old. Some of them that they're 400 or 500 years old. And they've stood there with conducive conditions for their growth for that long. And now in the last literally 15 years, everything has completely tanked as climate engineering operations were pushed off the scale. This radical ramp up in the US West happened in 06, 07, after the Arctic ice began to truly crash in the summer of 07. And that's when this particular conveyor setup for climate engineering was set up. They dried out the West. They put a high pressure dome over us here, Scott, with the ionosphere heater installations like HARP that can heat the upper levels of the atmosphere to extraordinarily high temperatures, creates a high pressure heat dome that rotates clockwise in the Northern Hemisphere, that rotates all the precipitation around us. And that's what's drying out the West. They then push that precipitation down into the central parts of the U.S., pick up more moisture from the record warm Gulf of Mexico. They're doing the same thing this week, right now, with engineered snowstorms that are being propagated right now that to create the sensationalized headlines, Sean, they use to confuse and divide the population as the true state of the climate. So in some senses, you could consider the West a climate sacrifice zone, but the cutting off of precipitation has been so consistent here, and the decimation of crops so consistent, and the flash freeze cool downs from climate engineering, chemical ice nucleating operations so consistent, we can only consider the West a target at this point. But again, all of it's completely connected and arguably connected to climate engineering operations. That's not speculation, theory, or hypothesis. We have the satellite imagery to prove these operations are cutting off the flow of precipitation to California and many other parts around the world. And the precipitation that does fall is toxic. So it kills soil microbiome, affects root systems, toxifies in soils and waters every breath we take. This is an all-out assault, Sean. There's no other way to describe it.
Well, and what strikes me is the propaganda. If you see this little 60 Minutes Australia clip on the right hand of my screen here, terrifying proof of global warming, 60 Minutes Australia. So they're trying to convince the public at large that what you're showing in your video here, Dane, is the result of global warming, not geoengineering, nothing nefarious. It's just too many people, overpopulation. And look at this news item. EU investment groups worth $140 trillion, think Rothschild, urge for stricter corporate climate change disclosures. And there's little Greta playing her role as the pawn in this game, this war against humanity, Dane.
This is where the equation becomes very complex. And it's important for us all to understand that and acknowledge that we have been very poor stewards of the planet. I fully acknowledge that. I recognize all forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet. We've cut down the forests. We've poisoned the oceans. We've paved the planet. We're pumping 100 million barrels of hydrocarbon into the atmosphere a day, all problematic. But what climate engineering has done has completely prevented the planet from responding to the damage done. The forests, if they were allowed to have the additional precipitation that a warming planet brings, and there was the additional CO2 to a degree can be uptaken by the forest, but not when climate engineering is involved. Because again, climate engineering elements, starting with aluminum, we have peer-reviewed study to prove the effects of aluminum, for example, on root systems. It causes them to shut down nutrient uptake. It kills soil microbiome. We affect the entire ability of the forest to even grow or uptake carbon. And now the forest, because of all these factors described, and including what climate engineering is doing to the ozone layer, it's the single greatest factor destroying the ozone layer, not negating the other human factors. That's important to state, because people in the environmental community, Sean, they think somehow to acknowledge climate engineering is to deny the other forms of human damage to the planet. We are not doing that at geoengineeringwatch.org. We fully acknowledge we have, again, decimated the planet from countless directions. But to not acknowledge climate engineering is criminal at this point. It makes any discussion about the climate from any perspective illegitimate. Climate engineering is the single most destructive factor relating to human activity regarding the climate. You must acknowledge this to have a legitimate discussion about the state of the climate. So climate engineering, again, has turned the forests from carbon sinks to carbon sources. They're not growing. They're not feeding on CO2. They're not releasing oxygen. And they're burning to the ground. Again, climate engineering is the single greatest factor in that regard, too. I would encourage your listeners to search on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, search the engineering wildfire section, search wildfires serve geoengineering agenda. Again, not speculation. We have hard data to back up these conclusions or we wouldn't make them.
If you don't mind, I'm going to sound up on this piece you did here, Domino Effect, Weather Warfare. And let's just see what your comments are, because I watched this whole thing when you released it back in around March 17th. And again, I wish I'd played that during our conversation, but your boots on the ground here are so important to document what most of the population is not seeing or recognizing.
Killed by the contaminants in the rain, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers. Now we know graphene, chemical isonucleating elements that are used to flash cool areas. That's why we go from 80 degrees to sometimes snow back to 80 the next day. How obvious could this be? This is engineered winter. This is winter weather warfare. So as we come inside the forest, it looks like it's not that bad from a distance. It's too many people. What's it look like when you get up close? Good luck.
That looks like my backyard, Dane.
This section of forest was once a closed canopy, completely closed. It's never been logged, never been touched. This is old growth forest. It's completely imploding. And we're told by official agencies, so-called experts, that this is all just because not enough trees are being cut down. And that's why the forests are burning, and that's an absolute blatant lie. Although thinning another story is necessary in some cases, and most especially after irresponsible logging operations have decimated the forest, in areas like this, there was no understory for hundreds of years, perhaps thousands of years. And yet now we see everything dying. It's sickening for me to come here. And what happens when everything dies? Then you have an understory that begins to erupt. And in this case, with a non-indigenous species, this is Scotch broom. It's completely taking over the forest floor. The game can't move through it. It's completely altering the ecosystem. The single greatest causal factor for forest die-off is climate engineering. It's completely disrupting the hydrological cycle, destroying the ozone layer. We face functional ozone layer collapse mathematically, statistically, and as soon as 18 months, we're getting not only UVC in the surface now, as GeoengineeringWatch.org has disclosed for nearly a decade, we're now detecting some X-ray. I don't think I need to explain how lethal that is.
I'll bring the volume back down, Dane. Look, I don't want people to freak out. I don't want people to lose hope. But look, most of us don't get to go to that location. Most of us don't get to see what you're sharing here in this video. So thank you for what you're doing. How in God's name do we stop this? The enemies of humanity are now pulling out all of the stops. There's new research being done about the vaccine from Brian Artis and others that is suggesting it's cobra venom in the water that's mimicking the symptoms of COVID. Snake poison, snake venom. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The multifaceted attack against humanity. Look, there's too many vector points to cover. There's too many issues to try to expose. But this one right here that you're showing us is really at the top of the list, because if they destroy our ecosystem, we're dead. We're dead. It's famine. Famine is what's coming next. Engineered famine.
You're completely correct, Sean. No habitat, no humans. And what's important to remember is they, those at the top, again, those ultimately who print the money, who control militaries, thus they control countries, they could not do what they do without the active or passive support of the majority population. That must always be remembered. And in that regard, we have seen the enemy, and he is us. It's up to us to stop participating in the insanity. That includes our military brothers and sisters and everybody in every agency, everyone who works for every so-called elected official, everyone who is hiding what is happening right now, and they all are, everyone who wants to think happy thoughts instead of facing reality. None of that helps us to stop this ship from sinking to the bottom. A happy ending exists in knowing one has done one's part to make a difference for the better, no matter what challenges they faced. And we all need to adopt that philosophy. There's no guarantee of a happy ending. There never has been. But if we each do our part, we can yet affect profound change and do profound good, even at this late hour. We must reach a critical mass of awareness. The severity of what's unfolding cannot be overstated. The planet is dying by the day. We've lost 80 to 90% of Earth's insect populations, terrestrial and aquatic. Forests are about 60% declined from pre-civilization eras. The remaining 40% is dead and dying by the day. Atmospheric oxygen content is plummeting. Plankton populations are plummeting, plankton being the single largest production of oxygen on the planet. Again, weaving this all back into climate engineering as the single greatest, most destructive human activity ever launched by the human race. Greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm for many reasons. Climate engineering destroying the ozone layer, which is killing plankton. Plankton have to feed in the upper layers of the water column. They have to photosynthesize, and they're being wiped out from the increased UV radiation. Again, there's many other factors killing plankton. I'm not denying that. I'm simply saying we have to prioritize what's the biggest factor of all. The UV radiation killing the forest, the toxic rain killing the forest, the cutting off of precipitation killing the forest, killing soil microbiome, killing crops. We have climate engineers using weather modification as a weapon, and that's without question. That's absolutely without question. Why do we think they're not doing this? Those in power know the planet can't support populations any longer. We're on a dying planet. It's a statistical mathematical fact. It's not my opinion. And to admit to that fact is not to side with those in power. It's simply to state that given that we know this, what do we expect those in power to do? They're going to thin the herd, and that's exactly what they are doing in many different ways. And climate engineering being used not just to toxify the air column, manipulate weather. We all breathe this material in. It makes us cognitively less functional. A less cognitively functional population is certainly easier to manipulate, but it also crushes crops, creates food supply issues, which we're about to face at full velocity here in the U.S. And the timing of these events, these engineered events, in the case of this particular time of year, we're seeing a lot of engineered cool down events. These are highly toxic endothermic reacting materials that are seeded into cloud moisture. It's called chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Creates flash freeze events on the surface, radical cool downs from 80 degrees to snow or freezing temperatures in the course of a day. This is not nature, it's climate engineering. Search the engineering winter section at the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. But to weave all this back in together, given that we know those in power know the planet can't support populations anymore, what do we expect them to do? And they're doing that. And climate engineering, AKA weather warfare, is the crown jewel weapon of the military-industrial complex, the weapon with which they can bring populations to their knees, Sean, without those populations ever even knowing they were under assault.
Well, let me just say this. You said we're on a dying planet. Do you agree with me, though, that if it weren't for these nefarious strategies, agendas against us, if it weren't for climate engineering, if it weren't for spraying the skies with graphene and barium and aluminum, if it weren't for chemtrails, if it weren't for UN Agenda 2030 strategies to get people out of the wilderness and into big hellhole cities, if it weren't for these nefarious people behind this nefarious plan, then perhaps we would not be on a dying planet. Can we agree on that? Because I think this is all engineered, literally engineered to depopulate. And it begs the question, after they depopulate, will they then reverse engineer all the damage they've done? I think the answer is yes, and they probably have that technology.
It's a complex answer to that question. Would we be far better off had they never deployed climate engineering operations, which are not benevolent in any way, shape, or form? It's about power and control, period. We agree on that fully. I can't not acknowledge that we have been extremely poor stewards of the planet. We live in a population that feels the purpose of our existence is to proliferate and to consume without any sort of restraint, without giving back to the whole. And biblical texts, Sean, or any of the great spiritual traditions would certainly not abdicate any of that. We're required to give back. We're required to give back more than we take, if you will. And we have been trained as a society not to do that, that the purpose of our existence is to acquire and accumulate. And you simply can't keep doing that on a finite planet with finite resources. We've been incredibly bad stewards of the planet. The military-industrial complex, while we have all the so-called patriotic Americans waving their pom-poms about our military, that's the single greatest polluter on the planet as a single source, if you will. Not greater than all countries combined, but it's greater than many countries by itself. U.S. military, again, though, greatest single source polluter on the planet. And yet we have who acknowledging that? No one. We want to build it bigger and more weapons of mass destruction and burn more fuel and frack more wells. And again, fracking, polluting groundwater all over the planet and people pretending that that's okay. And that that's going to somehow make our lives better for how much longer? That's like, again, it's like driving an example I've given before, a motorhome out in the middle of the desert, running out of gas and thinking you could party forever because you have some food in the refrigerator. That's not the case. So I do acknowledge climate engineering has disabled the planet's ability to respond to the damage done. So again, the equation is complex. We should be focused on climate engineering primarily because it is the single most destructive human activity of all, greatest threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. But even in that case, climate engineering is directly connected because, again, it's destroying the atmosphere, makes us more susceptible to a coronal mass ejection, solar flare, which makes nuclear plants susceptible to meltdown because they lose grid power. Now we have Fukushima times 200-300, game over. So I think to unite the tribes in this case, it's important to acknowledge that we have not been good stewards of the planet. But there can be no legitimate discussion about the climate from any perspective, not left, not right, not middle, any perspective, without first and foremost acknowledging, addressing, and dealing with the climate engineering, aka weather warfare assaults. Long answer to your question.
Yeah, I mean, it's so complex. And when you say we haven't been good stewards to the planet, I get it, believe me. But it's the corporations, it's the corporate powers that do the polluting. It's not mom and pop. It's not our local farmer who provides us eggs. And my heart goes out to these local farmers that then buy into the Monsanto GMO seeds and get on that wheel of death. It's the Georgia Guidestones that they put up that says they want humanity to live in perpetual harmony with nature with a population of no more than 500 million people. Now, those stones, the Guidestones, were put up long before the decimation we're seeing in this video happened to these forests, long before Lake Shasta is down 100 feet or more. So what I'm saying is these people are engineering the depopulation that they cried for, that they telegraphed with the Georgia Guidestones. So this is all part of their nefarious plan to depopulate, because I don't think the forests would look like that if it weren't for the barium, aluminum, and all the other crap they're spraying in the skies. And why do they say they're doing that when they do admit to geoengineering to try to stop global warming? Oh, and by the way, pay carbon taxes to international criminal bankers. That'll help somehow. It's all completely nefarious. And I just want to drive the point home. In my view, geoengineering is one of the linchpins of depopulation.
With you on all those points, completely with you on all those points, right down to, as you correctly stated, the forest where I was at would not only not look like that, it would look exponentially better, especially in this case, in this location, with what we would have had increased precipitation without climate engineering, precipitation that's not contaminated. Those forests would likely be thriving right now without climate engineering. Completely concur with you on that. And again, all the carbon credits and all that is simply smoke and mirrors, another way to control populations, has nothing to do with doing anything to help the scenario overall. But what I am saying is that the population needs to wake up to the fact that we can't all drive $100,000 pickups that get 8-9 miles to a gallon and towing giant trailers and boats and this and that and traveling all over the world. The planet can't sustain that. That's a fact. And although it would be doing exponentially better without weather warfare, which that's all climate engineering is, let's call it what it is. The notion that this is somehow trying to mitigate the damage done to the climate, it's only adding to it. An attempt to mask it from the population and use weather as a weapon and to use this as a form of a platform for biological dispersions, And that's certainly going on, Sean. As of 1977, we had 239 cases of historical record of the U.S. military conducting biological, open-air biological experiments on U.S. populations without their knowledge or consent. This is business as usual. It's certainly worse today than it was then. So how many cases do we have now? But the bottom line is, though, the population, by not focusing on the fact that we are all careening through the air, the Thelma and Louise moment, through the guardrail, we're all heading as the occupants of a car to the bottom of the canyon. We need to focus on that and not football games, not rah-rahing our military and pretending it's not doing the work of those in power, because it is. You know, this is not about freedom and democracy in other countries. You know that. It's not not about any of that. It's about resources for the empire. We need Americans to wake up, stop focusing on all the mass distraction. And the media is so good at that, Sean. How many things, Sean, do you see right now that are used to distract the population? Very outrageous things that are being pushed and propagated from, you know, very controversial issues. I don't want to name any of them because I don't want to give them that airtime. But the public's being distracted with every imaginable controversial anything to take their eyes off the wider horizon that we are about to hit the wall at full velocity. Planet's life support systems are collapsing. We have this weather warfare raging in our skies, toxifying every single breath we take. Again, not speculation. We have a lab test to back all that up. We're in a fight for life right here, right now, Sean. And how many do you know that actually understand that?
Oh, well, Dane, most of the people I know aren't equipped to have any of these conversations because they don't speak the language. So it's like speaking to a child. Most of the people I know don't know what a central bank is. They don't know what the Federal Reserve is. They don't understand the history. They don't know anything about anything, much less the fact that the mRNA, quote unquote, vaccine, the mRNA technology, the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine is quite dangerous. But they want to run out and get it because they continue to see commercials every single day telling them it's safe and effective. Oh, and it's safe and effective for your kids. You can't wake up a good 40% of this population. I think 40% of the population is absolutely brain dead and beyond help, Dane. Friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. This is a perfect time for a quick break. For years now, people have been setting up a little contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since the events in Ukraine and the oil and inflation crisis, gold has done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, and who isn't, just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metals IRAs for your retirement. They'll get you straightened out on your options and hold your hand through the entire process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 right now to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. I think 40% of the population is absolutely brain dead and beyond help, Dane.
I would fully agree, and I would argue even much larger percentage, and that's my point. And it's so many people that not only don't know, they don't want to know. They want to keep their heads rammed in the sand as far as they can put it. And again, that's a huge factor in why we're in the position we're in right now, that so many don't want to look at the wider horizon, even though the oncoming train is about to run us all over. So what I'm pointing out again is that those in power couldn't do what they do without the active or passive support of the majority population. And that must change. We must have a population that understands if we don't all do our part right now, there will be no tomorrow for anyone. And we also need a population that's not bent on what they would perceive as a happy ending before they join this battle. Because Sean, you must know many people like that. And I certainly know many, they don't want to have any part of joining any fight to preserve what's left unless they can be guaranteed a happy ending. And that's not really courage, is it? I mean, if that's the premise in which you use to, before you do your part, that you have to be guaranteed an ending that you want, or you perceive is beneficial to you in some way. If all of our efforts combined can preserve anything for anyone to survive what's coming, is that not an obligation for us to join that battle?
Absolutely. This is the fight of our lives. And the line in the sand has been cast by the enemies of humanity. And it's our job to try to alert the sheeple people who don't want to hear anything about any of this, because we need everybody to wake up. We need everybody to get conscious. We need everybody to care and get in the fight. And that's on a variety of issues, not just geoengineering. So as we kind of round out the conversation, let's go to your site here, geoengineeringwatch.org. Is there any good news you can share? What are the glimmers of hope? Are you talking to people in the military who are waking up? Who will help us in this fight?
Yes, on most of those questions, there is a very large undercurrent of awakening beginning to happen, but we need to stoke that fire as fast as we can. We are very, very late in the game. I want to stress that. And you can't just turn this off. You mentioned earlier that those in power may climb out of their underground bunkers and try to restore what's left of the planet. I want to put this into geologic terms. Based on past mass extinctions, the most comparable is the Petum event. It's the Paleocene-Eocene thermal maximum happened 55 million years ago, methane mass extinction. Same is happening now on a time scale hundreds of times faster. So it's exponentially worse. And the equilibrium period after that last mass extinction was about 10 to 20 million years. That's an awful long time to stay underground. And again, what's happening now is exponentially worse. We don't even understand how bad the position is we are now, because that past extinction still had a functional atmosphere, didn't have all the other forms of human damage to the planet, i.e. the ionizing radiation, for example. We have 440 nuclear plants that will descend into meltdown as civilization collapses. There's no other scenario that we can see logically, rationally. We have 60 more plants under construction. We have enough nuclear weapons to exterminate our species hundreds of times over. All of that may come into play, and certainly the meltdowns are going to come into play. And none of this happened in previous past extinctions. It's happening now. And the time frame, I want to stress that this is happening in, is not comparable to any previous epoch in our planet's history. It's happening at unimaginably blinding speed. So we are in completely uncharted territory. But all that being said, Sean, you would agree with me on this, I think. We're here for a reason, are we not? It's not just to pursue personal pleasures, is it?
100%. It's spiritual war that's being engaged against us, and we know that there's a realm of the unseen. So we wrestle against not just flesh and blood, but against principalities of the rulers of the darkness of this world.
But in order to do that, we can't encumber our lives with pursuit of all the material gain we can get, cruises, football games, every other thing that the U.S. population is totally distracted with. Don't we have to prioritize? Doesn't scripture say before you knew your sins were washed away, now that you know your sins remain? Once people are shown this data, they're not allowed to turn their back on these issues. And I have had the top so-called spiritual leaders, and I'm not faulting Christianity or any other spiritual tradition, but in Northern California, I've met with all the major spiritual so-called leaders here. And the first thing that every single one of them said to me was, we don't need to worry about your data. We don't want it because it's all in big hands. We don't need to do anything. Wait a minute. I'm familiar with biblical scripture. You show me where it says you can sit in a pew and warm it with your backside and do nothing while you know this is happening to creation. And we're not allowed to do that. But yet we have so-called pastors hiding behind pulpits and being allowed to hide behind pulpits by their congregations and doing nothing and teaching their congregation to do nothing. And we're not allowed to do nothing. And all these other distractions of material gain, we all know what the Bible says about all that. Bottom line is we are to engage in this battle to preserve creation until our last breath. And that's what we're obligated to do. It's not an obligation. And how many people do you know that look at things that way? They want to post a comment on Facebook and think they've done their part and then go head out to the football game again or the next cruise trip or trip around the world or whatever else they're doing while the world is being completely decimated. I'm sorry if that's a bitter pill to swallow, but that's a prioritization that has to take place or we have no chance. I haven't been anywhere for 20 years, and I'm not saying everybody should do exactly what I'm doing, but I simply can't face myself in the mirror if I'm not engaged in this battle every single day. When I venture into the now deafeningly silent forest, it's frighteningly silent, and I know all the creatures that once existed there that were given to us to steward, and they're gone now. But when I see a single creature hanging on, a bat, a bird, a bee, a bear, they have no voice except for us, Sean. And I will do everything in my power to be that voice, to fight for their survival as well, for the survival of our posterity until my last breath. I cannot do otherwise. I couldn't face my maker if I did.
Can I ask you one more thing before we go? And I want to share a picture. I just took this. Okay. My little desk where I do these interviews has three big windows right in front of me and I can see my backyard. So I took this picture. I want to show it to you and the audience in a second. But let's talk about the resilience of the planet. Let's talk about why there are still beautiful forested areas in Alaska and Canada, all over the world. So what we see in the video that you shared there near Lake Shasta, that's decimation, but we don't see that decimation everywhere, do we? And then I'll share this picture.
You do see it almost everywhere. The areas you don't see it, and leading back to what you correctly stated earlier, the part climate engineering is playing in all this, and the toxins that are saturating soils and waters. Where you see forests less affected is where you have naturally alkaline soils, and they are doing better because the metals like aluminum are less bioavailable in an alkaline soil than they are in acidic soil. We have acidic soils in Northern California, makes these elements very bioavailable, kills the root systems. Plus, they're cutting off the rain as a whole. So we do see some forests that are doing better, certainly, but all forests are doing poorly overall. But in relation to what you said, and I want to expound upon that just for a moment because you are completely correct. The incomprehensible resilience of nature, if it's just given a chance, the blade of grass that finds a way to grow through the single crack in the asphalt jungle and exists and perhaps produces a flower, nature is so resilient if we would leave it alone. Creation is so resilient. And this has to happen from multiple directions, not just climate engineering. We have to stop all forms of destructive human activity, starting with climate engineering, though, is the most destructive. But I would agree with you, Sean, this is the only way forward, is to stop interfering with these systems.
Yeah, see, I think what they're going to do is they're going to engineer famine. And I don't use that word lightly. They're going to engineer starvation to help depopulate, to speed up the depopulation. And I don't know how bad this will get. I pray to God people wake up and we take our systems of government back and put an end to this. But if these people are allowed to remain in control, they are going to depopulate. And then once they get us down to, you know, a few hundred million people on the planet, then they'll turn all of this nefarious stuff off and they'll let the forests regreen. And they'll probably spray things that would be helpful to that end. Just a theory. All right, let me show you this picture. I just took this. This is my backyard. I've cropped out the houses so you can't all see exactly where I live. But so that's through my screen. You can see the meshing of a screen there. And what I wanted to ask you is about those clouds, this gray, gloomy cloud cover that we get in the Midwest is unrelenting. Now, I grew up in the Midwest. I've lived in two states in my life. And I don't remember this ever being the case day after day after day after day. Is this in some way related to geoengineering? Because they are starving us of sunshine in this state repeatedly, almost daily.
It's completely caused by climate engineering. That's what solar radiation management is about, blocking the sun. And so they aerosolize the moisture, creating the largest cloud canopy possible. We have this in Northern California now. It was unseen 20 years ago. We would have storms move through with very visible, dark, various shaded clouds and rain squalls. And now we have day after day of featureless skies like you just showed, not a drop falling out in our case here. That is absolutely a result of climate engineering. When you put too many condensation nuclei into the cloud moisture, the droplets can't combine and fall as rain. And they use radio frequency microwave transmissions to then scatter these particles. It has a repelling effect. So it broadcasts them out into the widest possible area. Again, stopping convection, stopping the droplet combining that causes it to fall as precipitation and creating these massive featureless skies for day after day after day. And that is climate engineering. That is solar radiation management, exactly what's described. We've seen it in the polar regions for many decades. And many assume this was somehow some natural phenomenon in the polar regions. It's absolutely not the case. They simply started climate engineering operations over the polar regions first, and now they brought it to lower and lower latitudes, and now we see it here all the time. So you're completely correct, Sean. This is climate engineering, and this is where we need to reach the so far very untruthful people in the climate science community. They are not telling the whole truth, one, about how severe the climate collapse is. It's far worse than anything we're being told. I want to express that. Yes, Al Gore was lying, but not in the direction that most want to assume. The severity of collapse with Earth's life support systems is far worse than anything Gore said or any environmental group is stating. But these same groups will not admit to the climate engineering elephant in the equation. And the effect these programs, which are nothing less than weather warfare, are having on crops, everything you mentioned is absolutely real. And we need to deal with this issue first, but we need to also acknowledge, in order to unite the tribes, in order to unite the left with the right and the center, we need to acknowledge that we can't continue to live in the way we've lived, grinding up nature for profit and pleasure. We can't do that. We won't be here long. That's not what our creator wanted us to do. But turning two blind eyes, as the spiritual institutions have done and the environmental groups are doing, to the climate engineering elephant in the equation, that first and foremost must change. We have no chance, even for near-term survival. And I say near-term, I don't mean into the century. I don't mean into the decade. We are perilously close because of the feedback mechanisms that are now in play, about 50 feedback mechanisms. It's called the positive feedback loop, and positive doesn't mean good. It means that the negative loop feeds on itself once it starts, like the collapse of ecosystems. It's called a cascading collapse. That is in such full swing at this point that statistically, in the current trajectory, most of us may be gone in the coming years. And I mean before the end of this decade. And that's a statistical certainty on the current course. Those in power know it. Now plug back in COVID, plug back in what you correctly stated about them collapsing crops, doing everything they can to cull populations. You are completely correct. But I want to drive home the immediacy of what's unfolding. And it's not going to seem real until it is. But we are perilously close to major shoes dropping, shelves being empty, and people being forced to face reality.
Yeah. Forcing people to face reality. That is what we need to do. Unfortunately, for a lot of the people who just want to remain asleep, reality is just going to punch them in the face real soon here. Okay, so then they're going to wake up, whether they want to or not. I'll do one more screen share here. I just took this picture too through my screen. So that wooded area that I've described to you in past interviews that we have behind us used to be teeming with oaks. It used to be teeming with life. The oaks are all gone. They had to be cut down. So we put in, me and the neighbors put in 9 or 10 of these spruce trees, hoping that these will grow. We actually, to be honest with you, had 7 of these spruce trees replaced by the tree guy because they all died. So we've already been down this road once. He provided a guarantee. So he replaced 6 or 7 of them. And he said, well, it's a one-time replacement guarantee. So we hope that these hold. We hope that they grow. But the soil is so probably hopelessly damaged that I don't know. I'm just crossing my fingers. The point is that when we built this house in 2003 and we moved in 2004, that little area behind our house was teeming with life. It was an orchestra of bird sounds every single day. It was beautiful. We all felt so. That type of sound and that type of wildlife is uplifting to the human spirit. And now what we have is precious little wildlife. We get some squirrels, we get a few birds, not many, not nearly what we used to have. The trees are all dead, and we get these gloomy gray days, which is so depressing. And I think it's all by design, Dane. I'll give you the final word.
Again, certainly climate engineering has radically sped up the process of ecological collapse, radically sped it up. It's been used as a weapon, continues to be used as a weapon. We must wake the population up to that fact. And the speed at which the die-off is occurring, we have the same thing here. Let me put that into statistical perspective. At the current rate of wildlife die-off, we've lost, going backward, we've lost 70% of Earth's wildlife populations in the last 40 years. At the current rate of die-off, we face 0 hour for no functional wildlife populations left on planet Earth. Doesn't mean nothing left at all. It means no functional populations, which amounts to a functional extinction. 2026. That's the mathematical statistical trajectory. Again, we've already lost 80 to 90% of our insects. I can't drive these points home strongly enough. We are there. It's about to come to an end. And yet, Sean, how many people do we have occupying themselves with every imaginable distraction? They simply want to somehow pursue personal pleasures while the planet goes down in flames. And I would argue this, how can any parent who claims to love their child not focus fully on what's unfolding? We owe our lives to our children. We don't own our lives, we owe them. And we need to start behaving as such. We owe our lives to the creator who allowed us this miraculous planet to begin with, that we have decimated. And again, climate engineering, the single most destructive factor of all. What I'm trying to get people to do is understand we each have a part in this play. We must play that part to the best of our ability. And learning how to do this can make one feel much more empowered, Sean. If you arm yourselves with credible data, it is exponentially more effective at waking others than walking out in the street, pointing at the sky and ranting. That's why we pass on our materials at geoengineeringwatch.org for less than our cost. Me, my wife, my children, packing boxes of our printed materials that we printed vast quantities so we could pass them on at extraordinarily reasonable prices. And it's less than our cost. We're literally losing money. We've never raised our shipping cost, our package cost. We haven't. We've simply absorbed more losses to try to get these materials into circulation because they're so effective at waking others. You pass on one of our printed 20-page booklets to someone, if that doesn't wake them up, they're not going to wake up. Time to move on. Move on to someone else. Count that as a seed planted. But if we all engaged in constructively, effectively, and efficiently waking others around us, we could reach a critical mass of awareness very quickly. And if we can do that, we have a chance of altering our current course. It would change the composition of the wall we are about to hit. And that's worth fighting for. And if we can salvage anything from Earth's life support systems, that someone might make it through what's coming, we might learn something as a species and be responsible with the creation that we are given, then that's worth fighting for, Sean.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's the call to action I was looking for. Let's just go to your site again so people understand where they can get these materials. Geoengineeringwatch.org, guys. I'll leave the link below. If you click on Photo Gallery, it takes you to the Facebook page. And I think this is an effective tool to share with people as well. People need to start looking above their heads and recognizing this stuff for what it is. Boy, include 5G in the conversation. I forgot that. That's another vector point to exterminate us, in my view. But we'll go back to geoengineeringwatch.org here. Where do people get these materials that they can purchase and then share with friends, family, neighbors, mailboxes, et cetera?
They're right on the left side of the page you have up right now. Scroll down a little bit. It'll show activist or materials. There's our flyers and everything. It's a little further down.
Yeah, right here.
And I want to stress, we put the PDFs for these materials there as well. People are certainly free to use our PDFs to print themselves. But we do print in massive quantities. That makes the cost go way down. We pass that on 100%. Again, we're shipping out at our own, at less than our cost, to try to get these materials into circulation. And that tool is so much more effective. And one more comment, as you mentioned about the electromagnetic frequencies. Absolutely, a core part of climate engineering and the power behind the frequencies used for climate engineering is exponentially stronger than those being used for communication. So again, we hope that people that are justifiably fighting the 5G, the cell phone towers, plug this into climate engineering because for example, in some of the cell towers we see that are being used for climate engineering, particle manipulation in the atmosphere, the power being pumped into those towers is 10 times more, 10 times, 1,000% more than what's needed for communication. And that's how much more powerful the climate engineering transmissions are. So we need to connect all these issues. We need all those that are fighting these battles to connect all these issues because they are, in fact, all completely connected.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I say it all the time, and I don't think I'm overstating it. It is a multifaceted attack against humanity, right? It's just all sorts Correct. Of weaponized technologies that are now being unleashed, have been unleashed, and are now being openly turned against humanity. So, you know, you got the mRNA experimental bioweapon, you've got the 5G component, you've got geoengineering, you have engineered chicken die-offs, engineered supply chain issues, engineered crop die-offs, all taking us toward, I think, famine. And I pray to God we can stop it. Dane, thanks so much for what you're doing. I hope we didn't depress the heck out of people, but I mean, what else are we to do? We've got to share this information.
Completely concur with all your conclusions that you just stated, Sean. And yes, how are we to deal with what's unfolding unless we fully face it? And as I look at what certainly various spiritual traditions would tell us the same, but if we look at what's an author, Scott Peck, in the book, The Road Less Traveled, stated, The Road Less Traveled, the hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the truth, no matter how dire. And again, the biblical texts, spiritual traditions would tell us to do the same. We are responsible to act on what we now know. If we all do that, we can yet affect profound change, even at this late hour. Thank you for everything you've done to help sound the alarm, Sean. I am very grateful to you for your refusal to give up in this battle.
Thanks, Dane. I'm grateful for you too. And we've known each other for a long time now, probably a decade, I would say. And boy, things have really, really, that's why I wanted to get you back on, because after our last interview, I then went back and rewatched that piece that I had watched previous and the domino effect video there at Mount Shasta. And it's just shocking, shocking stuff. And I wanted to share that with the audience so that people understand this is real, guys. The decimation of our ecosystems is real and it's accelerating.
What you described, to tie this into what you described about your backyard and the life that existed there and that place where that video was taken, I spent many nights on that forest floor sleeping, and you couldn't sleep past the very first light because there were so many birds in that canopy that it sounded like the tiki room at Disneyland. If anybody who knows what that is, it's a room full of birds, and it was thriving with life. It is now completely silent. There's nothing there. And again, it ties in with exactly what you're experiencing in your region as well. It's happening around the globe with very few deviations. We're in a fight for life right here, right now. We need to treat it accordingly, prioritize accordingly. This battle will take all of us. Thank you again, Sean.
Thank you, Dane. I appreciate you. Guys, the website is geoengineeringwatch.org. I will leave the link below. Our guest has been Dane Wigington. Dane, stay in touch.
Thank you, Sean.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate you very much. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we do have a server that is out of reach of Big Brother and totalitarian authoritarianism and censorship. So thank you, friends, for keeping us in the fight for truth and real news and for real news every single day. You can visit, of course, geoengineeringwatch.org, but also sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
It was 1933, wasn't it, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt had his first inaugural address. And if you read his first inaugural address, you will see that he actually does mention clearinghouse certificates. And what he's doing is he's selling all municipal employees into slavery to the Pope. And these clearinghouse certificates are being used to securitize their names and estates. And over time, they simply expanded this to include anybody who got a social security number.